Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
Good evening, our fellow friends and lovers out there. Thank you for joining us tonight. We come to you tonight with a heavy heart. A good friend has passed away, and we just want to say at the start of the show that we miss her. You know, early stages of grief. So, you know, it's going to be...
She was my best friend.
It's going to be a difficult show. But we will get through it because, you know, that's what life is about.
I needed something to do.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just moving on is part of the mourning process. We just want to say here at the top of the show that she will be missed.
Yes.
So, welcome again. We've got a good show for you tonight. We'll see how we can get through it. We'll get through it together with love and compassion, as always.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, for our Sacramento audience, this would be our third show you hear here on KUBU 96.5 FM. I got to get used to doing that. You can find us at latenightlove.us, and you can find past shows over there if you wish. And we're just going to kind of jump on into the show tonight. We've got some good questions on life, love, relationships. And if you guys can hang around to the end, if we get to it, depends how fast we get to the show, if the radio side gets some spicy stuff, even though we have to friendly it up for radio, even though we are on.
Well, I tried to friendly it up.
Yeah, we do. We're generally family friendly, and we are on late night on radio after 10 on, it's 10 o'clock on Saturday nights and midnight Monday. No, Tuesday mornings, midnight. It depends how you view midnight. It's either Monday night or Tuesday morning. For me, it's still Monday night. For others, that's Tuesday morning. It kind of depends how you view that kind of thing. It's right there between Monday and Tuesday. How's that? All right. So, but as always, you can find us. You can send us your questions and comments too. Oops, wrong one. Send your love letters to love@latenightlove.us. But that's actually a good one. If you are struggling with some mental health issues, please visit the mentalhealthhotline.org, 1-866-903-3787. And, you know, you're not alone. Okay, my love. Let's get going tonight.
All right. Let's start with some relationship questions.
All right. Yes.
Okay. My husband, male 39, has thrown me, female 27, under the bus to his family with his silence and complete lack of a spine. How do I salvage this? She wants to adopt, but his family is against it.
Okay.
And he won't stand up to that.
Well, is he against it? And maybe he's using his family as an excuse because he doesn't have a spine to stand up to his wife? That's a possibility. It could be a family trait thing about adopting. I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, if you can give a child a chance at happiness and a healthy family, why wouldn't you do that? But this may not be the healthiest of families. So maybe go to counseling on this one would be actually my suggestion. You know, deal with it. Maybe it's, again, it may be that his lack of silence is because he agrees and he doesn't want to argue with you. So he's using the family as the excuse. I have a tendency to think that's probably more along the lines. I would, you know. So you're going to have to deal with that. That may be a family counseling. You know, go to your priest or, you know, whatever it is you guys use for that kind of thing. But that's an arbiter needs to be involved in that one of some form.
Yes.
Yeah. But it may be one of those things. You may have just found a completely different morality, and you may have to rethink your relationship. Sometimes that happens, sadly. You know, you find something that's fundamental, a difference in worldview. You know, you want to help someone who's disadvantaged, someone who doesn't have a family, have a family. And, you know, for whatever reason, and there may be a reason for it. Maybe his family's got burned in the past, you know, in some way, some tragedy has happened because they took somebody in And so that's why there may be some logic to it, you know, at least on their side. So try to view it with an open mind, potentially. Yeah. But, you know, so there's wide possibilities, but you are going to have to deal with it. Okay. What's next?
I, 19 female, have been going on dates with a guy, 22 male, who believes in conspiracies. Red flag or?
Well, in the last few years, a lot of conspiracies have turned out to be, I won't call them true, but not as wrong as we would like to think they were. Okay, because, you know, the problem with conspiracies is they have some grains of truth mixed in there, and they fill in the gaps with stuff. And it's like a game of telephone. The farther away you get from the original idea, it becomes wacky. And so you end up with people believing in all kinds of weird stuff. But somewhere down there, there could be a root of truth. And so it depends on the conspiracy. I mean, is it a conspiracy that matters? You know, is he talking about a second shooter at JFK? You know, Area 51 kind of conspiracy. Those are relatively common.
Yeah.
How far out is the conspiracy? It's alleged conspiracies, you know? And sometimes, as we found out in the last few years, conspiracies can at least have some truth to them. And sometimes far, far more than we'd like. You know, I'm not going to touch into any hot cultural or political topics, but, you know, you don't have to look very far to see where people may not have been completely right, but you're on the right path. So, you know, wrong in details, but right in direction. You know, especially for those of us who live in the civil liberties, work in the civil liberties sphere politically, there are lots of things that, you know, people would have thought Watergate was a conspiracy until someone brought up some documents. And we've seen that. So be very careful in the modern world when you talk about conspiracies.
Yeah.
Because the whole term conspiracies was invented by the FBI to discredit people who were questioning what things they were doing, FBI, CIA. That's why we think of conspiracies. Are there some people who take a few grains of salt, make connections that are nowhere plausible? Yeah, happens all the time. But if it's not a big deal, don't make it a big deal. And again, it depends. You know, it really does depend. You know, if someone's hell-bent on being a flat earther, what can you do? You can spend your time somewhere else. But, you know, if he's a second or third shooter for JFK, eh, who cares? Okay, what's next?
Okay, wife, 36 female, wanted an open marriage. After I, 38 male, started dating, she wants to add more roles. What would you do in my position?
Don't go along. She found out that she has this thing called jealousy, and now she's trying to manage her jealousy. So this is one of those things that sound better than it really is.
Yeah. It looks good on paper. It really does.
And I am going to say this. For short periods of time, if you're in a specific part of your life, sure, knock yourself out. Vacation in Cabo or something, and you know it stays in Vegas. You know, everybody's all agreement. And then you go back home and you all live a normal life. Eh, you know, once in a lifetime kinds of things. I'll throw the bones on that. But as a lifestyle, you're running a
risky ship there.
Yeah. The chance of getting hurt emotionally are exceedingly high. Not even on purpose. No one even has to do anything on purpose. Just you're still humans. And 36, you're still in clock ticking time. And so you even got more, you know, oddly enough, you know where the highest rates of sexual STDs are?
Yeah.
They're in the retirement communities in Florida. They all having a grand old time with each other down there. But you don't have any risk anymore. Yeah, even if they do get an STD. Oh, I've only got 10 years left to live anyway, so what? There's no risk of getting pregnant. There's no long-term real consequences. Emotion, you know, so they go off and they have a good time. That I can kind of understand more than I can at 30 when you're maybe raising a family or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my guess is find out what the real is. My guess is there's some jealousy, and it's just she's not really made for it, even if she thinks she is. Or she wants to be good for the goose, but not for the gander type thing. She wants to be loosey-goosey, but she's not so happy if he is.
That's fair.
Yeah. Hey, like I said, emotions make no sense. You don't have to. I don't know. I would suggest that you tread very carefully before going down this path anymore. Because you're seeing signs that
not working.
It's not working on some level. So, yeah, that's a retreat. All right. Well, what do we got next?
Okay. My 36 husband, male 29, was fired for inappropriate communication with a coworker. Where do I go from here?
That's a good question. It really depends on what kind of inappropriate communication. He could have told someone to stuff it in a not so diplomatic way, you know, or it could have been, you know, a harassment type of situation, which maybe your husband needs some therapy. Maybe he's got some issues to be dealt with. You know, you should be the one to know. But if he's grossly flirting with women on the staff, that's probably a sign that your marriage is not as strong as you think it is. But again, he needs some kind of counseling to help if he's acting inappropriately at work, if he can't restrain himself some way or another. Inappropriate communications in business speak, that can be anything. It can be from harassment to just being a jerk for too many times, you know. Tell someone to blank off and that can get you fired, especially if you're low on the totem pole or have other issues. So I don't know. My guess is he has some kind of issue that he needs to deal with. And the question is, do you stand by him or not? Has he broken some fundamental trust? That's a question you're going to have to decide. Okay. What do we have next?
Okay. My family, father, 59, mother, 57, sister, 35, has never visited me. And I, 30, female 30, consider not inviting him to my wedding. Is this relationship salvageable, or should I chuck him in the whatever bin? She lives overseas.
Well,
and they've never visited her.
Do they have the financial means to visit her? Going overseas isn't cheap, right? Maybe, you know, they're three, you know, two. She's one. Does she have financial means to go visit them? Not everybody can just travel overseas at the drop of a hat, you know, especially if they're struggling economically or not even struggling. If you're lower middle class, you're not going to be able to afford to go overseas. You're just not going to be able to do it. So the question is the relationship salvageable? Well, you've created quite a distance, and that distance has consequences. Now, is there other things besides not coming to visit you? This is the modern world. You can Zoom and FaceTime and Instant Messenger and text and all kinds of things for communication. There's no reason to not have communication. Are you just upset because they won't fly halfway around the world to see you? Because maybe they can't afford it. Maybe they don't travel well. I think invite them to your wedding. You know, maybe that's something you might be willing to go into debt to go do. Because that's probably what it's going to take. And it's probably why they haven't done it. But here's what I always say. People don't ask people you love to go into debt for you. They may offer, but you don't ask. You don't ask, not just to soothe your emotions.
is what's known as an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. So, you know, my question is, what's the rest of the communication like? Is the communication fine? Mm. And you're just all bent out of shape because they haven't flown halfway across the world to see you. You're being a little, what's the word I'm looking for? You're being a little unreasonable. Wasn't the word I was looking for, but it's the word I'm going to use. You know, now if they have the means and haven't done it because they don't care enough to do it, it's a different thing. But my guess is that, you know, taking a trip overseas is not inexpensive.
Yeah.
It's just not. Have you offered to pay for their plane ticket? You know, they have to go through all the hassle of, and expense of getting passports. Have you offered to help with any of that? Do you have the means to go back and visit them? Have you gone and visited them? There's too many questions left unanswered.
Okay.
These are complicated questions. These are complicated issues. And that's really the point. You know,
mm-hmm.
take a step back out of your emotions and take a good hard look at the actual situation. Not the situation that you want it to be, the situation as it actually is. That's my answer.
Okay.
Okay.
My sister-in-law, female 37, rolled her eyes at me, female 26, when my husband, male 30, took me to the hospital for a medical emergency. How would you handle this?
Treat her like you would treat a toddler. What do you care? Just, what do you care? Right. She's not your best friend. You're not going to go hang out with her. What do you care? Don't worry about it, is my suggestion. Any time you spend on it is time not well spent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What do we have next?
Okay. My 29 female husband, 28 male, hates his job again, and we are expecting our first child. I want to support him, but I'm worried that he might just hate working. How do I navigate this?
Well, who doesn't hate just working? That's, you know, hate, not liking working is not uncommon. You know, walk into any workplace. Do you like working? No. Why do you do it? Because I'm hungry. You know? Yeah, he doesn't like it. He hates his job. The solution to hating your job is to find one that you can tolerate. I'm actually lucky. I work for a nonprofit, and I get to do something that energizes me. You know, I get to help people find their voice, use it, and spread it. And, you know, I'm good at it. So that makes all those things combination makes it easier to go to work. But I'd rather not. It'd be nice if I could live the same way we live now without doing all of that. But it's not how the world works, and it's not how it's ever worked. And I don't know, you know, we have to just think about it this way. 500 years ago, 600 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, you had to work a lot harder for a lot worse life.
Mm-hmm.
But it still sucks. So maybe instead of, you know, commiserate with him a little bit. Yeah, it sucks. Working sucks. No one wants to do it, but he's got a family to feed. He'll do it. You know, the trick is to maybe help him find something that he doesn't hate so much.
Yeah.
Or you make the rest of his life so rewarding that it's tolerable. There's lots of people who go to work every day with jobs they despise, they hate, they'd rather not do, but the money pays. And what they do is they make the rest of their life so rewarding that it doesn't matter. And so make the rest of his life so rewarding that it doesn't matter, because that's something you can control.
Yeah.
You know, tell him you love him a little more often. Yeah. Men pretend it doesn't, we don't matter. And in individual instance, you're right, it doesn't. But over time, you're, you know, a drop here, a drop there. Next thing you know, you filled a bucket that he didn't know he needed filled. Because the truth is, in a sense, we don't need it. We can survive without it, but we're surviving without it. We're living with it. There's a big difference between survival and living.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What we got? Parenting questions now. Woohoo! My favorite ones, because these are there. You can never get these right. All right. What do we got?
Okay. She found a found pot on my sixth grade son. She doesn't know what to do.
That's actually a difficult one, because sixth grade is way too young for that kind of thing. So you, but the only way to deal with it is openly and honestly. And you tell them there may be a time in your life where this is an option for you, but now is not the time. And you explain why. And I'd be going a half hour discussion that we don't have time for. So maybe that's something we'll do in the future. Is the only way to deal with this is openly, honestly. And you're just going to have to kind of be blunt and honest, because if you're not, they're not going to believe you for things that are more important. You actually have the chance to set up a future conversations about deeply important subjects on how to deal with them. And the instinct for parents is to punish. He's too young to punish for this. He doesn't know better yet. So the thing is, make him know better. Then once you know he knows better. And it's difficult as users ourselves, as people who, you know, but times and place. Everything has its time and place. And sixth grade is not the time.
No.
You know? When you get to your teenage years, you're in high school and you sneak off with your friends on a weekend. Is it ideal? No. Would I prefer them not? No, but that's more normal. Sixth grade is way too young. It's better to not do it at all. Let's be honest. Same with anything, right? Same with alcohol, same with pot. You're better off not using anything. But we are humans, and for some reason, we do.
We want what we want.
And we want what we want.
We don't
want
to wait.
And
your impulse control is zippity doo-dah when you're a teenager. So, you know.
And so you don't want to make it worse. You don't want to set routines up for that are difficult to break later in life. This is the things you want to talk to them about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the devil's lettuce. You know, he's not going to go to hell. That's not what you're trying to teach him. What you're trying to teach him is now is not the time. And there may never be the time. But you can understand the attraction, especially in the modern world where it's surrounded you. But that's why you have to arm him with knowledge. Not fear, knowledge. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on.
All right. Am I being unreasonable for hanging anxiety about my future stepson staying with us?
Are you unreasonable for having anxiety? No. Anxiety about it is perfectly normal. What you do with that anxiety is actually the question. You know, is there some reason for anxiety other than just the normal anxiety because the house is going to change? The dynamics of the house will change. You know, the thing you have to do is you sit down with your husband before this happens and you figure out what your strategy is. Our suggestion, depending upon the age, you know, it can be, what is your role as a responsible adult to this child? And let me tell you something. You don't get to be considered a parental unit. You earn being considered a parental unit. I just want to make sure that is clear. Never demand that a stepchild, never ever demand it.
Call you by a certain name.
No. Yeah. Just don't. Because that's not your role unless they grant it to you. And if they grant it to you, that is a special gift. So just approach it with the love and compassion that you have, and you will be fine. Right? In a sense, Parenting isn't your job. It's great. You get to
you actually can be more of a fun guy.
Yeah, you get to be the fun guy. So the other guy has to deal with all the harsh decisions. You get to give them food. Yeah, remind them to wear their jacket. You know, and if you don't, it's not your problem. So, no, just and my suggestion is don't fight ghosts. Whatever type of ghosts there are.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay. And don't interject yourself in the relationship between them and their other parent. You are Switzerland. Okay, what's next?
Do you have a trick for managing school library books at home? When I was a child, our library books had a house. Their home was on the bookcase next to the front door. Uh-huh. And you had to, that they lived there. That's where they stayed. And you went, really, oh, sorry.
Shows up on the mic.
And you went and you got the book, you read it, and then you would have to put it back on the bookcase.
Yeah, my answer is no. I made them do it. I never really had a problem. So I don't know.
We were eight.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're talking my kids having books in the school library. Like, how often was that going to happen? Well, why? Because they're fast readers. They don't need to bring things home. So, and they had plenty of stuff to read at home. And we let them read stuff that was above their grade level, and they wouldn't at school. So they just didn't bring many books home. This wasn't, it wasn't part of our life experience. Okay. So what do we've got next?
Is it worth being miserable for your child to have experiences you didn't? She's talking about travel.
Uh-huh.
And she's working in a job that pays very well, uh-huh, and they can travel.
Okay.
But she hates it.
Okay.
She hates the job. She has a miserable day every day.
Well, I'll put it this way. A miserable parent is more damaging than the experience of travel is rewarding. A child that sees you miserable all the time is going to think that's how life is. That's a terrible lesson to send to your child, you know, just for the experience of traveling. Now, there is a caveat to this. You're also providing them more than just travel. I mean, just think of all the other things your well-paying job provides. Nice house, good neighborhood, good schools, potential future education, or a down payment on a business. You know, the potentials are endless. Future homestead for future generations. You know, and is that sacrifice worth it? Maybe not. But maybe. Plenty in past generations sacrificed greatly so future generations could be comfortable. You know, my grandfather was one of them. So there's no right answer to this. But the answer to this, maybe look for a job that pays maybe not as well, but can still support the rest of the life. And then use travel as the bonus that it is.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we have next?
A daughter accused of stealing. She's accused of stealing from her aunt, a sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it like $500.
How old is the daughter?
The daughter's 12.
12? Oh, man, that's right on the borderline where it could or couldn't be. Younger kids generally won't. Hitting the teenage years, it's possible, especially if they have, you know, some type of social issue or addiction issue. But 12, that's a difficult one. But let me, I'll say this. If a 12-year-old has $500, there'll be signs. They don't have the self-control to not spend it. There'll be signs. So you're going to have to look for those signs. They're not sophisticated enough. They'll either overbuy whatever it is they're addicted to, and you'll know that way, or they'll suddenly have video games or some electronic device or something that they really shouldn't have, and some goofy excuse on why they have it. So you can look into this without actually having to be Inspector Clouseau. You know, I'm just saying. But also, you know, people have a tendency to lose things and then blame somebody else for it. I could relate to the story of, you know, back in the day when we were camping as children, my son lost his phone, and everybody thought, as a kind of as a prank, because we're out camping in the middle and do things, one of the other kids took it and got off and played with, you know, hit it or whatever. Turned out they found it the next day in the fire because my son had heard about the key lime pie and hopped up, and the phone was on his lap, and it fell into the fire and no one noticed. Then so all night everybody was blaming somebody for taking the phone. And
sounds like an enchanting evening.
Yeah, these things happen. So just be careful as you proceed. That's my suggestion. Okay. What do we got next?
Okay. I asked my 9-year-old what happened, and she said it's her business. How do I react?
One, try not to laugh. Or the other way is to laugh hysterically and say, you ain't got no business. You know, so it really depends on your current parenting style, is just on these things, just stay consistent. Because the one, if you're going to take it seriously, then you try not to laugh. Because for me, I would not have been able to not to laugh. But it was, but while I'm laughing, no, that means it is my business. And so you find whatever techniques you use to get them to talk. My mother used the washing machine talk. She just put you on top of the washing machine and talk to you until you gave up whatever. I did history lectures. They couldn't last 20 minutes. So, you know. That's what I'm saying. And they also learn something. So I go with history lectures. Just give them a history lecture until they give up whatever it is, their business. No, you can't go until I'm done. And guess what? I'm not done until you until I know what happened. You know, but then you have to follow through. So you have to be ready for an hour long history lecture just in case they're stubborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most of them can't make it 20 minutes. At the point, my kids at the end couldn't make it 2 minutes. No, God, okay, fine, I give up. Just a threat of a history lecture would work. That or sing. Yeah. Anyway, okay, what's next?
Okay, how do I react to my dad ignoring my request, letting the dog near my baby behind my back? It's an infant. And she doesn't feel comfortable around the dog, around her child being around dogs right now.
This is one of those things where you probably can't do much about it. So my suggestion would be, all is well that ends well. The dog and his baby are gonna have to kind of cross paths, and
they will.
And the sooner they cross paths and become comfortable with each other, the better off everybody will be. I understand her fears. It's perfectly natural for a mother to have these type of fears. It's also perfectly natural for the men in those children's lives to ignore those fears and impose their own view of child rearing. Your father has experience. I kind of trust him on this one, I would suspect.
Yeah.
He did a good job at raising you, didn't he? You know? Blinders. This is one of those cases where blinders. We had this discussion last week or a couple weeks ago about the same time. Sometimes you have to pick your battles with grandparents.
Yeah.
This is one of those where you pick your battles. Okay, what's next?
What do you do
when your toddler is napping?
Sorry.
No, it's just they screwed up the way that what did you, yeah, they were just trying
what
to
what did
cute.
Do
what did you do or do you do when you're yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
just what do you do when your toddler is napping? Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
If you got the house to clean, the house is clean. If you use it an opportunity to take a nap, take a nap. Yeah. You get to choose these things. Yeah. If you're in need of a nap, take a nap. It's fine. You're allowed. You're allowed to take a nap if you're sleepy. That's often the times when I figure out they guess. Can I take a nap when my toddler does? Yes. They're exhausting. Take a nap. The dishes will be there in a half an hour when you get up.
Yes, Simba.
Okay. What's next?
Work.
All right.
Why do people have to talk all the time?
Because they're bored or they have things to take to discuss. Right? You know, teamwork makes the dream work. And in order to have teamwork, you have to talk to each other. You know, and sometimes people are avoiding work. So it kind of depends on the discussion. But it's called socializing. I know you're an introvert and you don't want to do it. That's fine. But learn to tune it out. That would be my suggestion. It's a skill if you practice it. You can practice tuning out the noise around you.
You can.
You can. Okay, what's next?
I'm a cultural consultant employed at the mayor's office. I just got handed the work of the secretary because she has taken another employee's space in 6 months and has to learn her trade. I have 1 month left till my temporary work contract expires. What should I do?
A cultural consultant employed by the mayor's office. Well, A, your contract likely has terms and conditions to it. But here's the thing. My guess is they want you to apply for her job. But because of rules, they can't say so directly. So apply for her job if you want it. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, they don't hand you somebody's work when you only have a month left if they don't want you, if they don't want to give you the opportunity to do that. Right? They're giving you the op, they're telling you in a way that the only way that they can, because of civil service rules, you have to post the job and all kinds of stuff. They're telling you to apply for it. They're asking you to apply for it without directly asking you to apply for it. Now you have to make a decision. Do you want your current thing and move on after in a month and go off and do something else? Or do you want to continue to be a consultant? Or do you want to be an employee? Two different things. And maybe you want to be a consultant. Maybe you like being a consultant and you don't want this thing. Then you have that discussion. It's a great thing about being a consultant. My contract says this is what my role is. And this is not within my role. You can go and have a discussion about, you know, potential new contract. But my guess is they want you to apply for that job. They like you. Congratulations. Okay.
Okay. Being asked to present something I was not involved with. It was a project that someone else did.
Okay.
And now he's being asked to do a presentation on it.
Did you ask why?
Mm-mm.
The question is, ask why. You know, sometimes there's a rational reason for it. Like maybe the person stutters and gets really nervous in front of the group of people. And you have to give the presentation for them. I've had to do this. You know, or a group presentation. They did everything, but none of them were confident enough to stand up in front of the in front of the owner and everybody else and talk about it. But so you know what I did is I gave it. So here's what the team came up with. I never presented anything as my idea. It was the team. And so if you're going to have to do that, you do the same thing. Give every bit of credit to the team that did it as you go through. That will protect you. Because one, if it's junk, you're letting everybody know I'm just presenting without being a jerk about it. Well, you know. But number two, you're telling everybody that you can be worked with without stealing people's credit. If it's good and you're passing the credit on to the people who earned it, you're now trustworthy. Everybody now knows you're trustworthy. Your boss, the people above you, the people below you, and you have given yourself great social credit. The unspoken social credit. Just saying, it's an opportunity. View it as an opportunity. But I'd first find out why. Find out why. Because, you know, it helps you create your approach. Okay. What's next?
Is your iPhone listening to you?
Yes. If you have Siri turned on in any form, the answer is definitely yes. But yes, a lot of things can't work without it unless a lot of features people have on their phones cannot work unless the microphone is on. Right? In order for it to hear you say, hey, Siri, guess what has to be listening? Siri has to be listening. Says, well, it listens when I say, hey, Siri. No, it's listening for hey, Siri, which means it has to pick up every sound it hears to see if it's hey, Siri. Now, the question is, how much do you really care? What are they going to do? What's the point? Quite frankly, if someone's tracking my data, collecting my data so they can sell me some more Cheese Whiz, what am I afraid of? They're going to do a double backflip out of the internet into my living room and say, here, have Cheese Whiz. I don't care if corporations get my data so they can try to sell me stuff that I've either already bought or have no interest in buying. That's happens 99.9% of the time. Now, if they're selling that money to the government so they can build a data profile on me so that sometime in the future it may be used to develop a social credit score or some type of thing like that, that's disturbing. So, how much do you care about those things? Is actually the question. I personally don't care. I don't care if Cheese Whiz wants to try to sell me more Cheese Whiz or whatever. Or if Dr. Pepper sends me more ads for Dr. Pepper because I drink too much of it still somehow. And I don't drink nearly as much as I used to. Figure that one out. Okay. What is next?
How can I go on family medical leave without notice?
And just mental?
Mental health.
Other health issues? Well, you're going to have to give notice, even if your notice is short. But you're also going to have to check and make sure you particularly qualify for family medical leave. Because not everybody qualifies who thinks they qualify. But here's my thing. If it's for your mental health, nothing else matters. Deal with your mental health, and the rest will take care of itself. Or won't. You may have to pick up your life at the other side, but it happens. As you know, if you're dealing with a real crisis, is there any more on that, or is that just all?
That's all there was, really.
No, can you? It depends on your location, company policy, and all of that very stuff. But you can go on medical leave on short notice. You just have to, you know, cross the I's, dot the T's for your location and employment status and employer. Okay, what's next?
How can I find a job that's $20 an hour? He's 18.
Where does he work? Where does he live?
He's 18.
Where does he live?
I don't know.
Because if you're 18 and living in California, just go down to McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. Of course, I'm not hiring anymore because he laid off a bunch of people and cut people's hours because he can't afford to pay them $20 an hour. But look, stop focusing on you want to learn how to make money. Here's the thing. Stop focusing on the dollars per hour and focus on providing value to whoever it is that can give you money. Right? There's stories of a guy who bought an old power washer and went around and just started washing driveways. And now he's got this whole cleaning business, cleaning empire in a city. He started with one broken down power washing machine, right? Just find something that you like to do. Find people who want it done and go do that. Or go find a trade. Go down to your local, I'm not a big union person, but go down to your local plumber's union and ask, where do I get training to be a plumber?
Carpenter.
Electrician. But my guess is pick the jobs. If you really want to make a lot of money, pick the jobs no one else wants to do but need to get done.
Yeah, that's a plumber.
That's a plumber. And guess what? There's always going to have plumbing. And there's always going to have plumbing issues. And so you're 18. You have the chance to start on a trade. Are you going to make $20 an hour at the start? No. But you know what you're going to be making in 10 years?
A lot more than $20
an hour. Yeah, that's what's going to be happening. So think farther ahead rather than immediately, and it will pay off. Develop some skills. You know, learn a trade. That would be my suggestion. Those kind of construction and trade industries really need people. You know, if you're in an area with the oil, you know, oil rigs, weird, strange jobs like that pay a lot of money because they're very hard. You're going to have to work hard for that kind of money. So, all right, what's next?
Can we skip down to life questions?
Sure.
Okay. Can I refuse to sell my house to a specific person if he offers the full price?
Yes. You don't have to sell your house to the person who puts in an offer. You can say no. You can say no for whatever reason you like. Now, why would you care is the other issue, right? I mean, I suppose if someone's going to tear down the house, you know, maybe an ancestor built, you might say no and try to find someone who's going to preserve it. That could make some sense, but you're selling it. What do you care what happens to it after you're done? You know, move on emotionally. Let it go. Would be my suggestion, unless there's something like, as I said, you want to preserve some kind of historic thing. And the person you're selling it to is just going to knock it down for a parking lot or something. Yeah. But yeah, my suggestion is, what do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's next?
Can you recover from bipolar? Recovering, once you're bipolar, you are always bipolar, but I mean, you can manage the symptoms.
Yes, you can become much better at managing them. And so, but recovery is the wrong phrase, right? There's some things you don't ever recover. It's part of who you are. And it's you integrate it and you learn how to manage it is, I guess, recovery. There's not recovery, but it is, right? You return to a normal life. This is recovery, but it's always with you in some form. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What are some social anxiety tools I can use when I want to hang out with my family and talk to them?
Okay, the first thing to deal with when you're hanging out with your family is remember that they love you. Right? That's the first thing you want to, the first anxiety tool is that you're in a safe space. Even your annoying brother who pokes fun at you only pokes fun at you because he loves you. Right? And so the other thing you can do is manage the duration. Don't feel like you have to sit down for an hour and have a big discussion. You know, you can have 5-10 minute discussions. You can kind of come and go as you build your toolkit of your strengths. You know, and the other thing, another thing to do is Find something that you enjoy as a group to participate in, whether it's something like Cards of Humanity or something where the discussion can happen more naturally and freely, and it doesn't feel like you're sitting down eating dinner. I've never understood why everybody wants to sit down in a big, huge family table or have dinner and then have a discussion. I don't want to listen to people talk while they're eating their food. It's a terrible. Having a conversation while eating is a terrible place for conversation. So, you know, find something that you enjoy while you're engaging with it. You know, Cards of Humanity, Jenga, Monopoly, whatever it is. Okay.
How can I have more energy in the mornings?
Well, you might not be able to have more energy in the mornings. You may be a night owl, and just mornings are always going to be your kryptonite, so to speak. But generically speaking, you can get more energy in the morning by going to bed earlier and maybe starting with some exercise. It's kind of the only way to do it. That's it. Sorry. Sorry. I wish I had an easier answer, but that's the answer it is. That is the truth. Go to bed earlier so you get a longer sleep, so you get enough sleep. And, you know, start the day with 10 jumping jacks. Get your blood flowing or something is my only real suggestion.
Shower. Get some protein.
Yeah, whatever. Well, my guess is if they're still asking, the shower doesn't work. So I'll do some jumping jacks. You know, get the blood pumping.
Yoga.
I don't know. I'd do something that gets the blood pumping. The heart rate up quickly.
Some people find yoga energizing.
I'm just saying, just try something that's different and unique. How's that?
There you go.
But get more sleep. Get better sleep. You know, maybe a new mattress. Okay.
I live in a defunct golf course community. A builder has purchased and said if existing homeowners do not join the homeowners association now, their address will be banned from ever joining. Can they do that?
Sure, but what do you care? I mean, seriously, it's a golf course that went broke once. What makes you think it's going to survive the second time? And two, you have an opportunity to not be part of an HOA. Why would you surrender your freedom and your rights to property ownership to a bunch of people who have interests other than yours? There's other golf courses. Yeah, you have to get a drive to them, but so what? You know? And B, they won't stick to it. They just won't. They're just trying to force you into it. You want to go join the golf course in 5 years, trust me, they'll let you join the golf course because they need your money. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to join the HOA. So what do you care if they're not going to let you in? Yeah, don't join an HOA. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, what's next?
What role do hobbies play in maintaining good mental health?
Well, they keep your brain interested. They keep you motivated. They make you a little happy. You know, there's all kinds of roles. I actually wrote a paper on this back in school.
Yeah.
Yeah. The role hobbies play in your mental health. And it's, you know, they can create communities, you know, because a lot of hobbies have communities surrounding them. They can give you skills because you often have to learn. You know, most hobbies require learning and you get better and you progress. And then those skills can often transfer to work and life skills. And, you know, as you become more competent, even in a hobby, you become more confident in your life. And that's good for mental health. You know, so the human connection, the education, the feeling better about yourself because you actually know how to do things. All these things are important. And, you know, sometimes just having something that's unimportant to care about is important. That's why people care about sports. So they can care about something that doesn't matter. I don't know. I know it sounds contradictory, but they get to care very deeply, get real high hope of promotion. But you know what? The Monday, it's just another work day, right? The world didn't end. You know, it's just another thing. You get this, you get to have this connection without it being the end of the world. It's fun. And fun is good for your mental health.
Yeah.
It just is. Okay. What do we got?
Does drug use abuse during puberty cause borderline personality disorder?
Oh, that's a chicken or egg question. Because oftentimes what drug abuse, not drug use, abuse does is they're trying to self-medicate without knowing it. But yes, you can essentially fry your brain, set bad brain patterns that become more damaging later on. It's entirely possible. And so both, the reality is both of those are true. Right? It, can it? Sure. Does it? That's a different question. Does means always and forever and all the time. No. And oftentimes, what appears to that the drugs may cause a problem was really is the recovering for a problem that got exposed later because of the long-term damaging effects of uncontrolled issues. So it's a it is a chicken or an egg question. There's no direct answer. Sadly. Okay, what else? We got.
Does individuation make sense for self-actualization?
I think that's individualism is supposed to be.
Individualism?
Yes. Well, it doesn't matter. It's kind of the same thing anyway. Yes, because you can't become yourself unless you understand you as an individual, right? Yourself in the relation to the group, you're never actually understanding yourself. Self-actualization is about understanding who you are. And you can't understand who you are if you're always comparing yourself to the group. Would be my understanding of that question. Maybe I should add some more philosophy questions. And that's a good one if I'd had a chance to think about it. I did late research, man. It's not my fault. I did all my research this evening. My hair is still wet because I was so late with everything today. But, you know, as we said, heavy heart tonight. All right, do we want to go?
Okay, I got a few.
Well, we're past the radio time, so we can go for.
Oh, okay.
If you want to do them all.
So maybe my girlfriend is mad that I cannot come during sex. He can if he masturbates, but he goes for a really long time, and she gets tired.
Well, yeah, that's kind of reasonable. That's an interesting.
Then you're making the orgasm the goal.
Yes, the orgasm isn't necessarily the goal, right? Yeah. I mean, it's an individual goal, but it's not the group goal. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, as human animals, that is the point of the act. But as the group, it's not necessarily the point of the act. But it is going to be difficult later on for you to, say, have a child if you cannot complete the act during. You're going to have some medical discussions because there is something
going on here.
Off. And men are visual. So maybe you need to find a position that excites you more for the end game. Or, you know, oftentimes it's, you know, especially if you're, shall we say, old fashioned and, you know, say missionary position, you can't, it's difficult. So I don't know, but you may want to actually talk to a doctor about that. Cause, or you may have oversensitized yourself and now you've made yourself a problem. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it's a psychological issue, you know? So I don't know. Yeah, you're going to have to talk to a professional on that one. How's that? That's my suggestion. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to jump around here.
Okay.
My friends with benefits said I'd love you during sex.
Broke the contract, person. The friend with benefit contract says you're not supposed to do that. Especially during the act, right?
Well, it could have been a emotional slip.
It was an emotional slip. All right. you broke the emotional barrier that you're not supposed to have as a friends with benefits. You broke the barrier into caring. I mean, more than
sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's always the danger.
Which is somebody gets hurt.
That's how these things end up. Someone gets hurt. But you know what? That's part of life. You take these risks when you go down here.
Yeah.
Now you're going to have to figure out whether you're going to deal with it or not. You're going to have to deal with it. One, you're going to have to stop having relations. Or you're going to have to move your relationship onto a different level. That is what's going to have to happen. Your world has changed. Just has. Okay.
I got two more.
Okay.
Substance to increase female libido. There is no female Viagra. Sorry.
Well, that's not technically true. I just don't know what it is. There is things you can do. But you're going to have to talk to your doctor about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generically, you can give women testosterone and their libido will increase a little bit. But generically speaking, women are more likely to be aroused when they are comfortable and feel safe.
True.
You make yourself a nice, safe environment, and she was more likely to be responsive to your advances. So, you know, you may have a role in the, you know, or is this a woman asking? I'm assuming no. This is a man asking.
Yeah, it's a man. Yeah,
you may have a role in that without knowing it. And it may not, needs change over time, right? What used to be the combination may no longer be the combination. You're going to have to go looking for the combination to her turned on in this. You know, flowers in a movie might used to work, and now she wants chocolate and stimulating conversation over fish and chips. I don't know. You know, maybe she just wants to sit outside and look at the stars and sit quietly. And, you know, whatever it happens to be, you know, you're just going to have to find the new one.
Okay. Last question.
Sure thing.
My boyfriend said that masturbation is cheating.
That is not an uncommon perspective. It is his right to have that moral line. I disagree with him. But he has that right to have that moral line. The question in your relationship is now, is you have to decide, you know, is that a line you're not willing to give up? It's perfectly that both people can be personally reasonable in this point, right? Neither point is necessarily unreasonable. It's perfectly reasonable for him to feel that way. He's not alone. It's also perfectly reasonable to you think it's crazy. You know, pleasuring yourself is hardly cheating because there's don't think you know cheating defies a other person. Can't cheat on with
how
yourself.
How are you going to cheat with yourself?
Yeah, but you know, especially religious people can have a view that you know that is cheating, and it's not unreasonable, but it might be one of those things that define that your relationship can't work. You know, mm-hmm. Either because one of you is going to have to move, right?
Yeah.
So either he's going to have to come to a new understanding, or you are, or you're going to have to come to new behaviors. Is it right to ask? It's right to bring it up. You know, but this is one of those things. Your relationship is either going to move forward or it's not.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no great answer here, because the morality is what morality is. It's an individual thing, and it's not so far off the planet that it's, you know, it's not unreasonable. I think he's wrong, but it's not unreasonable. Far too many people in the world believe that for it to be unreasonable. I think he's completely wrong, but I'm just saying as a relationship requirement, it's not necessarily unreasonable. There's other people who he can find. He won't have that hard of a time finding somebody who believes in that with him. Mm. Right? Just go to christianfarmer.com or wherever it is, and you'll find somebody. Mormons are us. I don't know. You know?
Mormons are us. I can't believe you just said that.
Pick and choose, but, you know, there's someone for everybody. These relationship lines are relationship lines. Some of them are goofy, but we all have them. And it just means you're not meant for each other.
Yeah.
That's all that means. Okay. We out of here tonight.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for me.
Well, it's 10:06.
Yeah. That's it for me and Lubby tonight. We want to thank you for being on this journey with us. And we will see you, you know, next week with more questions and what from the Lovosphere.
I like that.
All right. Good night for me and Lubby. Have a good week, and please remember to love everybody.
Good night.